Father, how we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you even for the weather that is changing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. And we pray, Lord, for a mighty visitation in your word. Guide us into all truth. And Holy Spirit, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Call those outside to come in and let's get into the Word of God. Amen. Right. Levi, that was awesome. Thank you. That was really good. Yeah, I actually felt like there's no need to preach this morning, you know. So you need to give us more of those. Amen. That way I preach less and shorter. Amen. All right. Now, today I want to continue sharing with you about tithing. Amen. We're in a season where we're sharing messages about tithing, this all important phenomenon that God has instituted among his people. Amen. Amen. Which is something that we all need to believe in. Amen. Because Christianity is about believing things. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Christianity is about having faith and believing things. And the thing about God's things is that you don't believe them with your mind. You believe them with your heart. Hallelujah. We don't follow God's things with our minds, because a lot of God's things defy human logic. Do you understand? So if you track God with your mind, with logic, you can easily miss him, because God does not necessarily follow the human patterns of logic. For example, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's not how human beings view giving. Hallelujah. We feel that it's more blessed to keep than to give. Isn't it? Yeah, it's more blessed to keep than to give. And so every chance we get to keep, we try to keep and to lock away and to hoard and to, preserve and to save. Isn't it? Yeah. To rescue from spending. Amen. But God is like that. Human beings, operate more by love those who love you, hate those who hate you. Isn't it? God is like, love your enemies. Can you imagine that? He said, love your enemies and pray for them. Hallelujah. I mean, how are you going to pray for your enemies? Hallelujah. So in the Bible, you see that it says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God if you are not someone who believes in things. Do you understand? You cannot please God if you are not someone who believes. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. So the faith rights, it starts from believing something. Do you understand? It starts from believing something. And so if the concept of tithing does not make sense, it's not strange, because it's just one of the things God expects us to believe. Hallelujah. Not because it makes sense, but because the Word of God says so. And we believe what the Word says. Hallelujah. The Bible says, by faith, they obtained a good report. Do you understand? So in the eyes of God, you do well when you believe things. God is most impressed by believers rather than thinkers. Do you understand? And so to walk with him, you have to be a believer. You have to be a believer in the hidden wisdom of God. God's wisdom is not often obvious. The Bible says his wisdom is hidden. It's called the hidden wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and from verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Isn't it? Right. And the reason is that he's saying that there's a wisdom of this world, isn't it? There's a way that this world thinks and rationalizes things. And so God is quick to distinguish his wisdom from the wisdom of this world. Amen. It says that we speak wisdom, the wisdom of God, in a mystery. That's the wisdom of God is expressed in a mystery. It's often mystical in its expression. Hallelujah. That means you cannot even see it so easily. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. Hallelujah. None of the princes of the world knew. Are we having some trouble with this thing? We are. All right. So let's read our Bibles today. Amen. Right. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you understand? So that right there is an example of how God's wisdom beat mankind. Hallelujah. It appears God just dribbled people and they just didn't know what to do. Hallelujah. Because he says that if they knew the wisdom of God, the first thing they would have done was to have halted. They would not crucify Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Which means that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is one example of God outwitting the wisdom of man. Because there was real wisdom in crucifying Jesus Christ. God offered Jesus to be crucified, do you see, for the salvation of mankind. But if the wisdom of God, that is, that if Christ was crucified, it would lead to the salvation of the whole world. If that wisdom was obvious, if that wisdom could have been seen, they would have stopped it. Do you see what I'm saying? But that wisdom looked at the time like conquering the enemy. It looked like we're conquering, you're stopping the preacher. The man who was healing the sick, raising the dead, and bringing a lot of controversy all over the place had been stopped. That is how it looked to the common man and to the common mind. But they didn't know that that was actually the beginning of power, the beginning of salvation, and so many things that we have come to experience since we came to know the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's wisdom, it is not accessed, you know, through a human portal like the mental portal. Hallelujah. It's not accessed that way. God's wisdom is above that. Hallelujah. So when you continue to read verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us by God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. So this is the reason why you have to be a believer rather than a thinker. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the Bible says the natural man, not a bad man, but the natural man, just ordinary human being, says you in your raw state, do you understand? A human being in his regular unprocessed state, a regular unspiritual state, cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Do you understand? They cannot. He cannot track. That is why God's wisdom is always a mystery. Hallelujah. That is why when God is expressing a wisdom, it is always a mystery. You cannot relate. Because the natural man and the natural mind, the natural mentality cannot relate with it. Hallelujah. It cannot relate with the wisdom of God, because they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. So you have to be spiritual in order to discern and to see the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So if tithing does not make sense, it's not strange. The natural man cannot relate with that. Hallelujah. I mean, if you were here for Luke's monologue, you can just imagine all the situations he presented. I mean, if you were to ask anybody in the streets, I mean, their answer would be, what? One of them was buy the car, isn't it? Yeah, one of them was buy the car. Another one is invest in the business. Another one was what? What was the other one? Give to charity, isn't it? They are providing drinking water. Why do you have to pay tithe? The church already has a lot of money. So don't pay tithe. Rather buy or give to charity. This is the natural mind. Do you understand? And this is the natural man. So the natural man cannot see the wisdom that God is proposing by saying, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Amen. Because they are spiritually discerned. Can I have an amen? But when you read on, you see, it says, and they are foolishness unto him. They are foolishness unto the natural mind. So it's not strange. Sometimes you have friends and family and other people who laugh at us and would laugh at you and say that, how do you take 10% of your income and go and give it to the church or give it to the pastor or something like that? Do you understand? Because it's foolishness unto him. Do you understand? And you need to tell such a person, the Bible actually talked about you. And it doesn't say that you're a bad person. It says you are just natural. Do you understand? You're just the natural person, not a wicked person, not even an unbeliever per se, but just an unprocessed, unspiritual, person just by himself does not see how such a thing makes sense. Hallelujah. Right? And they are foolishness unto him. But when you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Hallelujah. It says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the wisdom of God is crafted always in a mystery. So don't be surprised when God asks you to do mysterious things. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised in your walk with God when you find yourself called upon or drawn into doing things that do not make sense, that do not add up, but which may incubate the wisdom of God. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you have to be a believer. Tell somebody you have to be a believer. Hallelujah. God wants people to believe him. Hallelujah. You have to believe. You don't even have to agree, because agreeing is a function of the mind. But you just have to believe. Hallelujah. You just have to believe. God says so, and so I believe it. And you leave the logic out of it, because that is where your mind will fail you. Hallelujah. because they are spiritually discerned. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. So today I am continuing. Amen. And we've been talking about so many things so far. Malachi chapter 3 and from verse 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So God is saying that if we bring all the tithe, we're going to experience supernatural things. He said, "I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." Amen. Again, you are being called upon to believe. Amen. You must believe in the windows of heaven. Amen. God expects you to believe in the windows of heaven. Then he says, believe also that there is a devourer. And a devourer whose actions affect your outcomes. Amen. So he says that I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Hallelujah. That you've gone to till the ground, you're putting a lot of effort and nothing comes out of it because the devourer was loose on your things and things that were supposed to come to you. Hallelujah. And he says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. I believe that when God opens the windows of heaven upon your life, things will begin to change in your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then this other verse that we read, "I will go before thee." This is Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 2 and 3. "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am God of Israel." Amen. So again, God is showing us that there is a supernatural element involved in breaking through. Amen. And we need to become believers of the supernatural. Hallelujah. That God needs to help you. He said, "I will go before you and make crooked places straight and break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron." Hallelujah. "And then I will give thee the treasures of darkness." Hey, the treasures of darkness. Hallelujah. Treasures that are hidden in darkness. Because most treasures, you know, are hidden, isn't it? That is why there is a game called Treasure Hunt. Isn't it? Do you know the game called Treasure Hunt? A game that kids play, isn't it? Yeah. You hide something and then the child is supposed to go look for it. And I tell you, sometimes you're standing right next to the thing, but you cannot see it. You cannot see it because once it's a treasure, the next important word is hiding. Do you understand? Most treasures are hidden. Even in our homes, our treasures are hidden. Most people hide their most valuable things. They hide their most valuable jewelry. They hide their money. They hide anything that is of value is hidden. You know, the things that are not hidden are the things that are not of much value. You know, yeah, sometimes you look at something, oh, this is not of much value. Even if I lose it, I'll just get another one. So you just leave it right there in the open. But anything that is of value is often hidden, isn't it? Because it is a treasure. And he says, treasures are hidden and riches are hidden. Not only are they hidden, he says, they are hidden in secret places. You see, so the thing is in a secret place, and then in the secret place is hidden. That means it is undiscoverable twice. Hallelujah. Yeah, you cannot easily find it. That is the nature of riches. And that is the reason why you see people go to school, studied all kinds of subjects, you know, and it's a mystery how we still don't break through like we expected to break through, you know, when we were going to, you know, pursue a particular course of study or something like that, because it's like riches and blessing are elusive. It's difficult to know what to do exactly to be blessed. Hallelujah. But I want to believe that as we trust God with this supernatural thing that He has introduced for His people, I believe that the riches of this world and the hidden riches of secret places will be uncovered for us to partake of them in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Hallelujah. Now, one particular group of people that have practiced this kind of giving are the Jews. And we continue to see every week, I'm amazed as I discover new things about Jewish people. Hallelujah. They are the only group of people who have taken on, in fact, this morning again, I was just reading about the top, you know, charitable givers in America. And I realized that the top 15 out of the first 15 top givers to charity in America, you know, I think 12 of them, you know, 12 of them are definitely Jewish. Of the top 15 people who give the highest amounts, that is people who have given in the past year more than $100 million per person, you know, and the top 12 of them, top 15, 12 of the top 15 are Jewish people. And you just see the names just popping up like that and like that, one Jew after the other. And they are the ones who give because they have embraced the concept as it's like a duty. Do you understand? The average Jew understands that everything I have does not belong to me. There is some portion of what I have that belongs to others. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And even some of them may not even practice it as a religious duty. You see, one of the things about life is, see, somebody can start something, let's say in the family. You see, in the family, someone can start something which becomes a habit of another. Do you understand? Who may not even have the meaning or the reason. Like the ones I read a story about a family where there was a child who asked his mother, why do you cut off the ends of the meat before you put it in the oven? You see, he observed that every time his mother, actually it was a she observed that every time her mother was going to bake meat, she would prepare the meat and everything. And then the last thing, just before she puts it in the oven, she would chop off the ends and then just put it in. So she asked her mother, why do you do that? And then the mother said, well, I don't know. Grandma used to do that. And so I also learned it from grandma. So the child found grandma one time at Thanksgiving and then asked grandma, you know, mommy has been doing this all the time and she says she learned it from you. So what is the reason why you do it? You know? And then grandma says, well, I also don't know why. My mother used to cook like that. You know, she would chop off the ends of the thing and put it in. So I also did the same and your mother also copied it. Right? So this is one of those families that have a great grandmother alive. So the child eventually meets this great grandmother and thinks that she's found the source, you know. So she asked the great-grandmother, what is the reason why you chop off the ends of the thing, of the meat, before you put it in the oven? And she said, well, I had no reason. It's just that when I started cooking, my oven was small, and the meat was too big. So I just chopped off the ends, and I put it in. Do you understand? So there is the one who starts the practice who has the meaning. But others pick it up just out of habit, just from copying. Do you understand? Nevertheless, because they are doing the same action, because the blessing is with the action. Once you participate in the action, you reap the blessing, even if you don't understand why you're doing it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, I had a friend of mine. There was a camera on his way to his house. There's a camera somewhere on the road on the way to his house. So, you know, he would be driving and just be driving. And then when he gets to this particular place, he slows down and just continues. You see? And so he slows down and continues. Now, another day he gave his car to someone who had been riding with him up and down and up and down, who didn't understand why this fellow would slow down in that place. Do you understand? So he also got there and he just said, this is the place where this guy slows down. So he just slowed down and went through. Do you understand? Now, do you see how that, not even knowing why this person is slowing down, is actually still saving you a ticket anyway? Do you see what I'm saying? You don't understand why he slows down every time he gets there. But whatever he gets from slowing down, or whatever he escapes from slowing down, you also get to have it or escape it. You understand? Because you don't always have to have the meaning. Do you understand? And many of today's secular Jews practice charitable giving more as a habit and as a custom, a culture, that I have it is not all for me. There is a portion of it that must go to others. Hallelujah. You know, there was an interesting thing that happened this week. We were looking at some office spaces somewhere. Then there was this fellow, the realtor, who was showing us around. And then we went to one of the places, and as we were working, we saw that this realtor had been in charge of that complex since it was built. And then, one of the places we looked at, the owner was one of the first original owners of the complex, of the buildings in the complex. And so he told us that this realtor here has sold this complex 7 times over. Wow. Do you understand? The same realtor has sold this entire complex 7 times. Wow. He would sell it to someone, then the person would have it for some time, and when it's time to sell, the person will call him again, and then he comes to sell it to the next person. So this same building, he's made money over and over and over and over again, you know, and he's renting the spaces. I mean, the guy was flourishing. Even the car that he brought to the place, you see, he was really flourishing, you know. Then at some point, I was with Lady Pastor Quayle. At some point, then she just said that, could it be that this guy is, she just said, could it be that this guy is one of the people? You know, and I didn't even understand her when she said one of the people. So I asked, what do you mean by one of the people? She said, oh, I mean, he's a Jew, maybe. I don't know. So I just took note of it. This fellow comes with us, and when we finished looking at some space, then I asked him, where are you from? Then he says, Israel. Wow. You know, and then I start to think, wow. This thing seems to work. That it is real. So I asked him directly. I asked him, is it true that Jews give about 10 to 20% of their income to charity and to their synagogue and so on? He said, oh, well, yes. Most Jews do that. Then he said, I do that. I give close to that. I give close to that. And he was talking about some things he had been doing and so on. He talked about how he said his child's school, you know, his child goes to a Jewish school. He said he went to the school and he saw that the wall at the school is too short. So he decided that we're going to build a wall. We'll just get some friends together. He got some people together and he paid most of it. He got some people to contribute and they built a wall for the school for free, you know. So I asked him, what about the synagogue? Then he answered, oh, as for the synagogue, it's standard. Rabbi doesn't have to ask. He said, Rabbi doesn't have to ask. He said, every time we go to the synagogue, we just go. If I see the carpet is dirty, I send somebody to go to the synagogue, go and clean the carpet. The light has a problem. I send someone, go to the synagogue, fix it. So they are having a camp. Sometimes in the summer, they have camps for kids in the synagogue. And he says, when the kids are going to the camp, there are many kids who will not be able to afford it. You have to give, I give the rabbi a check that here is something to do to pay for the kids who cannot afford it. I mean, he said, rabbi doesn't have to ask. Wow. I was just thinking, I need some members to say that. Hallelujah. So see, that he doesn't have to ask at all. It doesn't even, it goes without saying. He says, we have to do it. It is our job. Hallelujah. And so you see that they are being blessed all the time. And they are the top people. I mean, they say that 11% of the world's total, all the billionaires in the world, 11% of the billionaires in the world are Jewish. That means one out of every 10, you know, of them is Jewish, you know. And something funny I read, let me just read that to you. It said that a Jew, let me just read that briefly. It says per capita. It says Jews are a little over 100 times more likely to become billionaires than the rest of the human race. Think about it. It says that when you go from person to person, that is, if you look at the number of people in the world, and then you look at the number of billionaires in the world, and it says a Jew is more than 100 times likely to become a billionaire. You know, that's if you're talking probabilities. A Jew is more than 100 times likely to become a billionaire than the rest of the human race. Yeah, I mean, the person has 100 times more likelihood, 100 times more probability than anybody else from any other place in the world. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this particular or this unique feature among Jews makes them rule the world. Basically, a small group of people in the middle of the world, right there, with wars all around them. Do you understand? And yet they control so much wealth and they control so much because the average person among them believes that no, there, even though I'm blessed and I have it, it does not all belong to me. There's a part of it that must go to the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God today? Yeah. Right. So let me go on to share with you why tithing doesn't work for certain Christians. I'm sure you would like to know, isn't it? Why does tithing not work for certain Christians? Why do certain Christians not experience the blessing of tithing? You know, number one is they do not believe in the supernatural. They just don't believe in the supernatural. They do not believe that actually there is a supernatural element in life. Hallelujah. But one of the things you need to do is to believe in the supernatural. For both good and bad, you need to believe in the presence of angels. You need to believe in the presence of spiritual entities. You need to believe in demons. You know, I had Bishop tell a story about a man. He said he met a man somewhere, and the man was telling him that the man had been in an accident, and the man was telling him how he was driving somewhere with his wife and children, you know, and then suddenly a dark being, you know, just entered the car, you know, and sat behind the steering wheel and steered the vehicle to meet an oncoming vehicle. Do you understand that? Yeah. And the vehicle, then his wife was driving the car. You know, his wife, this morning I was thinking about it, my wife was driving me. I said, I bind every being from entering this car in the name of Jesus. Yeah. It says the being entered the car, you know, nobody could see it, of course, entered the car and then turned the car in the direction of an oncoming vehicle and collided with the vehicle. Their kids fell out and died. Wow. Yeah. These are spiritual things that happen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And you have to believe in spiritual things. That's why prayer is very important. That's why you shouldn't go through life just waking up and just moving around. A lot of things are spiritually determined. A lot of things are determined in the realm of the spirit before you see their manifestation in the physical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may be fighting a battle. You may be having a struggle and you think it's all just human. You think it's just a person. You think it's just a situation. It's a boss or an employer or something like that. But you'll be surprised that you're actually dealing with a spiritual entity that is fighting against your progress and fighting against your prosperity and fighting you in a spiritual way. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is why you need to believe. And at the same token, you need to believe also in positive things. You need to believe in angels. You need to believe that there are angels. Hallelujah. That there are angels that can add themselves to the things that you are doing. There's an angel of the Lord that can be released to be with you to deliver you from evil. Hallelujah. One of my favorite prayers to pray for people is to pray for angels to be with them all the time. Especially people who travel. Yeah. You need an angel to also be on the plane. Hallelujah. I believe every time I get on the plane, angels also come on the plane. Say, some of the people you see as passengers, they are not passengers. They are angels. Like you see the way you can have marshals on the plane and you can't see them? Do you know there are marshals on the plane these days? Yeah. You try to fool around, you see how they'll take you down. Hallelujah. So if an air marshal can be on the plane and you can't see him, I believe an angel can board the flight for my sake. And you cannot see the angel. I believe it. And you have to believe such things. You have to be a believer. Don't be too much of an intellectual Christian. Do you understand? Your mind will let you down. I tell you, your mind will let you down because the Bible says the foolishness of God is smarter than you. Do you understand? Even when God is basest, when God is not really thinking correctly, the foolishness of God. Well, it's the Bible that said the foolishness of God. So when God is not thinking correctly, when you think God, you are wrong, it's wiser than the best brains of a human being. Hallelujah. So become a believer. If God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on your life, I don't know how, I don't know where, I just believe in the windows of heaven. I believe that there is such a thing as the windows of heaven and that the windows of heaven can be opened and that it will be poured upon my life a blessing. And he says there will be no room in your life to contain it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it. So believe in the supernatural. Amen. Amen. Believe in the supernatural. Believe that God is supernaturally able to affect your finances. God is supernaturally able to close gaping holes in your finances. That God is able to take you out of debt supernaturally. Not just some pastoral talk, but something that you truly believe with your heart. After all, even if you don't believe it, it's still there. You don't have anything to lose. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to believe it. You need to believe in demons. You need to believe that there are spirits that fight against your progress. There are spirits that will not let you have what you're supposed to have. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes in the summer, you'll be holding your food and a fly will come and sit on it. Do you believe such things? Can you not imagine a spiritual equivalent? That you would go to a restaurant or go to a place and then as you are eating, you sit down to a meal and then there is a fly, something that is flying around whose primary assignment is to come and settle on your food and to cause you to leave it behind. I believe such things. Yeah, I believe such things. I believe in the supernatural. Hallelujah. So one of the reasons why tithing doesn't work for certain people is because they do not believe in the supernatural. Number two reason why tithing doesn't work for many Christians is because they don't give it first. They don't give it first. They give it second, they give it third, they give it fourth, they give it last. But they don't give it first. Hallelujah. Tithing in the Bible is also referred to as first fruits. First fruits. Do you understand? And the Bible says we must honor the Lord. Look at it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Hallelujah. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. Hallelujah. So there's an element of honor in offering the first fruits, isn't it? It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of your increase. So as God blesses you, the first, God wants to be first. Hallelujah. God wants to be first. Not that you take everything out. You take some for this and some for that and some for this and some for that and some for this. Then when you have whatever is left, do you understand? Just a little left. Then you try to take your tithe out with pain. Do you understand? So here you are still ending up paying your tithe, but it's different. Even your attitude has changed. Your attitude has changed because of when you are giving it and because of how much is left after you give this. It becomes a difficult thing. That's why you see a lot of people on the Friday payday, they spend a lot of money like crazy. Yeah, because it's not painful when you are spending money when the money is a lot. Yeah, see people drinking alcohol, people taking their friends out. You know, see, this person says, I don't have money. Oh, not a problem, I'll pay for it. It's so easy because there's a lot. But after you've paid that and paid that and paid that and paid that, you rob yourself of the opportunity to be a cheerful giver. Yeah. You are giving, but the cheer is gone. Because you are giving your tithe and now it appears like a chunk out of a little. And it becomes very difficult. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Unless it is the first, let me tell you something. You see, there are many things there. There are many things that don't become honor except that they are done first. Most of the experience is ordinary and common. Let me take, for example, you see, when you board a plane. When you're boarding a plane, like, I because I travel a lot, I get to be premier, you have some premier status with some of these airlines. Now, one of the things that goes with the premier status is that you board first. You see, they are just trying to honor us. Do you understand? And the honor is in boarding first. Everybody will end up on the plane. Everyone is going to end up on the plane anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? But the honor is in when they ask me to board. Just they feel that it makes a difference. That when you ask somebody to board first versus boarding group 3, group 4, group 5. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could ask me to board with group 4 or group 5. I'll still be on the plane, but it's not the same. The honor element is out of it. So I end up still being on the plane. Do you see what I'm saying? But the honor element is gone. Even worse is when you are flying like standby. Standby, and a lot of us, our tithe is more like flying standby. If there is space. If there is space. If nobody else comes. If no other passenger comes for their seat. If this person does not come for their seat, then you can come along. So many of us, our tithing is not regular because of that. Because our tithing is more like a standby passenger. And of course, you see how a standby passenger is treated. The airline actually feels they are doing you a favor. You know, you can't even, as a standby passenger, you start asking for a window seat. Indeed. They think you are even blessed to be on the plane. Yeah. Go sit down there. Sir, would you sit your butt down? Some of these flight attendants, that's how they talk. Yeah. Because they are doing you a favor. They are doing you a favor. And you see, most Sambai passengers get some middle seat somewhere in the back next to the toilet. It's in the middle, it's in the back, it's next to the toilet. Yeah. You know, sometimes when they share the food and so on the plane, when they get to you, they don't ask you chicken or beef. It's just what's left. You get what's left. And some of us treat God like that. So our tithing does not work because, you see, there's a small element. The honor element is not in it. The honor element is not in it. And just like you don't feel special when the airline makes you board with group 3 or group 4. You know, look, sometimes when I get to the gate, it's like maybe I'm just about either on time or just missing the flight or something like that. Well, maybe I get to the gate and they're already boarding. One of the things I enjoy is just to see the long lines, group 3 and group 4 and group 5, you know, and then I just walk into the empty premier lane, you know, there's no one there, and I just walk right through there, and I can feel the eyes. I can feel jealous eyes looking at me. Yeah. You know, and I just go and I flash my boarding pass. And you know, the lady who's boarding the people, as soon as I show up at the front in that place, then she pauses that line and she makes a sign. You know, that is all. That is all. Honestly, sometimes my ticket costs less than all of these people. Do you understand? But for being a premium member, a certain honor, a small honor, and it's a small window. If they don't do it at that, I tell you, even that carpet that you walk on, it's a very short carpet. A very short carpet. Do you understand? And that same carpet, when the people are deplaning, when they are coming off the plane, they trample on it all over. As soon as the plane finishes of loading the passenger, suddenly the carpet becomes special. It's a small window, but you take that for granted and you're going to lose the passenger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Same thing. That you have your tithe. Yes, I know you're going to pay it anyway. You're going to end up paying it. But why not make it first? Because it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference when you pay your tithe. That's why I pay my tithe by direct debit. Yeah, I don't want to mess with any of... Yeah. So I make it first. Guaranteed, it's going to go, and it's not subject to my thinking, not subject to any of these type of things. No matter what is happening in my life, it just goes. Yeah. It just goes. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I want it to be first. I don't just want to pay my tithe, but it matters that you put someone first. God wants to be first. God introduces himself as a jealous God. Eish. God introduces himself as a... When you put others or other things before God, it bothers God. It bothers God. Hallelujah. I mean, how many of you ladies, I mean, you've been looking at this guy, maybe this guy, you really like him, you have a crush on him, and then you find out he also has a crush on you, and you know, you have this whole thing going. You know how you can feel something, you know? Wow. You meet the person after church, when you shake each other's hands, you can actually feel your heartbeat in your palm. You feel the pulse, boo, 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 and you wonder if the heart is in the palm or... It's like your senses are so sharp everywhere. That you are feeling certain things. And you see, he's also feeling the same. Then finally comes the day, he says, I want to see you. And you start to feel good. He says, I want to talk to you. Then you go out. Then you start talking. And then you can see. You look in his eyes and you can see love. Yeah. You can see love in his eyes. You can see that this guy, I mean, you know what? I mean, You see, before I proposed to my wife, you know, I knew, you kind of know the answer, isn't it? You just have to ask. You know that, you know, you're working it. Then the day comes when you know you're there. You know what I'm saying? And you know, if you say something today, yeah, even you can just whisper it. Yeah. You can even make sign language. You still get yes. You just know you're there. So this brother is there and then he starts to talk. Then he says, well, I have something I wanted to say to you. Then he looks at you and he starts talking. And he says, you know, after trying so many other ladies and all of them bouncing me, I finally decided to consider you. Just to see if... Maureen, how are you going to answer that? You see, can you imagine that this is still someone you liked? Someone you liked so much. And then finally when he starts to talk, you realize you are not the first. Can you imagine that? You see, now Maureen is about to slap the person. Maureen is about to slap the person, not because she doesn't like the person, but because of the position. Even if I was last, just keep it to yourself. But now you make me aware that you have actually tried so many other people. You know, well, you see, I proposed to Cynthia the other day. She said no. I tried Susan the other day. She said no. I tried Marion the other day. She said no. Even Doris, whom I thought, you know, would consider me, to my surprise, she even said no. So I said to myself, well, I have no choice. I'll just come try you. Such a pathetic proposal. And you're going to get a no from someone who otherwise liked you. Isn't it? It's because you put her last. Or you told her that you put her last. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Ladies want to be first. That is the truth. I was reading the Ten Commandments. You know, there's a verse among the Ten Commandments. Look at it. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Well, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. But if you start reading from verse 2. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Then he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, period. Can you see that? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. That sounds like a bride announcing or talking to her husband. Can you see that? Yeah, it says, I, the Lord, am a jealous God. In fact, I found an even worse one. Exodus chapter 34. Look at chapter 34 and verse 14. Chapter 34 and verse 13 and 14. He said, but ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So one of the names of God is jealous. Well, I'm not making it up. Is it in your Bible? For thou shalt worship no other God. Not make no other person, no other thing more important to you than me. And this is where we make a mistake. Do you understand? That many of us falter. We have other gods. We have other things that are more important to us than God. Our relationship with God is last. Last. God doesn't come first in many situations, in many instances. Anything that rears its head to, you know, get your attention in any way can easily replace God or what you have to do for God. Do you understand? So God is often pushed back. God is often pushed. He says, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. The Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Hallelujah. So tithing does not work for many Christians because they do not do it first. Hallelujah. They do not do it first. And so they strip their tithe of the honor element. Do you understand? It's the tithe. You paid it. It's like you still boarded the plane, but you don't feel special. Do you understand? You don't feel special because you came in at group 5. Even when there's even the space where to put your bag was a problem. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I believe that God is taking us away from that place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is a jealous God and we need to give him his place. Amen. We need to give him his spot. Give him first place. Take it out. Put it aside. Hallelujah. Don't even calculate with it. If you work in a place and you earn $2,000, stop thinking $2,000 because $200 of it is not yours.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Start thinking. Start getting used to, thinking $1,800. Thinking without the tithe. Planning without the tithe. Because we do that with tax, isn't it? Yeah. Most people who are, even when you go to the shops and you see the label, when you see the thing, it says $17.99, you start thinking $21. Isn't it? You don't think $17.99. You think and you know there's a tax element here. It's going to come and add to it. Do you see? And when people are getting an income, even sometimes you fantasize and start to think, wow, if this guy wins the lottery, he's going to get $350 million. Wow. But immediately you start to think, most likely after that taxes, he's going to get like $100 million, $120 million. You can't help but think that way. That's how we have to think concerning our tithes. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't plan with your tithe such that it feels like a subtraction from your income. It feels like God took something away from you. Start thinking like you didn't have it at all. Do you understand? If you earn 10,000, know that you earn actually 9,000. If you have 5,000, know that you actually have what? 4,500. You start to think so, and your tithe will be very, very easy to pay. Amen. He says, it is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. Hallelujah. It is the Lord's. It's not yours. You're not giving God something. You're not doing God a favor. It is giving God what belongs to him. And it's going to be a blessing. He says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing upon your life. Hallelujah. Well, our time is up. So let's close right here. We're going to continue next week. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. All right, just bow your heads. And just pray and say, Lord, I don't want to be one of those who spends my tithe on myself. The tithe belongs to you. Talk to God about the supernatural and say, Lord, I'm opening myself up for supernatural help. See, there are some of us where we are in life, you need supernatural intervention. You need an invisible hand. You need an invisible hand. You need supernatural intervention. You need something beyond yourself to step in and help you. You need something that is greater than your effort. Something that is greater than your education. Something that is greater than your background. Something that's greater than whom you know to step in and put you where you want to be. Because without that supernatural help, you are not likely to make it. Most of us will end up as average people without the supernatural help. It is that invisible hand, that hand that seems to help Jews in every place, in every aspect of life, no matter what they set their hands to do. There seems to be a supernatural angel that adds himself to what they are doing to support them and to help them and to make what they are doing flourish. How can it be that a certain type of person, no matter what he does, he seems to rise to the top? There has to be some supernatural explanation. That it's not even the line of work. It must be the person. It must be the type of person. And the Bible says, if we are in Christ, we get to be Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. We get to be Abraham's children. We are spiritually adopted into Abraham's lineage. And we get to inherit the blessings of Abraham. I want you to pray today and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I want to be faithful in this area of my life. If you set the windows of heaven, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. I believe in the windows of heaven. I believe in the windows of heaven. He said, I will open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough. Room enough. This is the promise of God. This is the word of the Lord. That there will not be room. A day is coming. Your problem will be space. Your problem will be where to put it. Your problem will be what to do with it. Your problem will be, I have too many of this. That day is coming. And you need to believe God. You need to believe it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just want to praise you, lift my hands and say, I love you. Sing it again. I just want to praise you. Lift my hands and say, I love you. You are everything to me. Your holy name, I exalt your holy name, oh, I exalt your holy name, I exalt you. Sing, you are everything to me, Lord. Yes, you are everything to me. And I exalt you. One more time. Yes, you are everything to me. I exalt your holy name on high. Thank you, Lord. Father, we acknowledge this afternoon that you are everything to us. That's why we exalt your holy name. That without your help, without your assistance, our struggles, our fights, the issues that plague our lives, we have no power in ourselves against them. It's only a matter of time when our backs will be to the wall. And realize that unless you open the windows of heaven and pour out supernatural assistance, we're really helpless. We're really pitiful. We're in a losing game. We've just not played it long enough to know that we lost. But Lord, instead of playing it to the end to discover that we lost, we want to back off right now. We want to surrender right now and say, Lord, we can't do it without you. We need your supernatural assistance, and we acknowledge and accept, we believe with our hearts, regardless of what our mind says, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the world and the people around us think, even regardless of what our own brains and our own minds tell us constantly, with our hearts we believe, with our hearts we sign on to the wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom of God, the mysterious wisdom of God. We sign on to it. We say, Lord, let that engage your power. May our faith engage your power in our lives. Let every individual in this room who believes in tithing, who responds, oh God, with faith to the word of God, let them see that supernatural hand. Let them see that supernatural hand. Let them see that supernatural hand. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. If you're here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you've given your life to Jesus, but you're not serious and you know it, that you are up and down, that you don't have a straightforward Christian life, and today you want to rededicate your life to God, I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to raise up your right hand right where you are, and I'll say a prayer with you. Just raise up your right hand right where you are, saying, Lord, I've not been faithful. I've not been a serious Christian. I'm always backsliding. I'm always falling away. I find myself doing the wrong things. I find myself struggling. There's often no difference between me and someone who doesn't know you at all. I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Just your right hand only, then I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Right. I want everybody to join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, today I rededicate my life to you. I have not been a serious Christian, and I acknowledge it today. Lord Jesus, please have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me and give me a fresh start. I'm starting afresh today. I want to begin a new journey with you. Help me, Jesus. Wash me and cleanse me and make me whole. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Did you know that both Google founders are Jewish? Yeah. It's fantastic, isn't it? Now, is it not interesting also that, you know, Facebook is actually one of the later ones when it comes to social media, isn't it? Yeah. Some of you used to have MySpace. What happened to MySpace? Yeah. And, yeah. And some others, even some others that have come later, we still don't and cannot. Every day I get some new text, join this, join that. All of those things don't go anywhere. Because it's not just having an idea. It seems an angel of the Lord adds himself to these people when they are doing. There's an invisible power that comes to stand by these people. And you may start the same line of business with them. Before you see it, they have gone very far. And they start to do very well because there's a supernatural element. The Bible says when you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. I said when you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. We are Jews by adoption. Spiritual Jews. Yeah, and we're going to start to experience the same blessing. If you believe it, say amen. Say if you believe it, say amen. Say I claim it for my life. Say I claim it for my life. Did you know the Lord told them, thou shalt be above only and not beneath? He said, thou shalt be above only. Your place is the top in everything. So it's not the business. It's the person. Do you understand? It's the person. I was reading another list where I saw, you know, the presidents of different banks, you know, all the big banks, Morgan Stanley, this one. I mean, you would just be surprised that how come it's like it was a plan. Do you understand? Don't take it for granted. All of this is happening quietly around us because they also don't talk a lot. Do you understand? And we as Christians get to be the spiritual parallel. And I know that if you take the word of God with faith and practice it, it's going to happen. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together one more time for the Lord and you may be seated, please.